everybody. Welcome back to Writing Easy, a podcast that takes the somewhat terrible task of writing and makes it not quite so terrible. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
So Melissa, today we're going to start talking about how to generate new ideas. I think you always get that question, don't you, of where do you get your ideas from? Does that ever happen?
All the time, nonstop. Oh, you're right. How do you come up with all those ideas?
Yeah, or I've got an idea, and like that's the end of it. But that is important. You still do need new ideas. It's, you know, you can't write without it, but you need to do more than that. So our quote today relates to that, and then you've got some good stuff to talk about. So I think we should just go ahead and get started. So my quote isn't a specific quote. I couldn't find the original source, so I don't have like exact words, but the gist is still there, and I think that's the important part. Do you know the cartoon Phineas and Ferb? Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Love that show. They're so good. Dan Povenmire and Swampy Marsh, two people who do it, they had a Q&A thing on live stream somewhere. And someone had asked Swampy Marsh about coming up with new ideas, being creative, doing new things, and worrying about running out of ideas. And so what he said, and I really like this, is that people tend to think of creativity as like a well, like where you go and you get things and maybe it'll run out. But he said, no, it's more like a muscle. So the more you exercise it, the better it is. And I really like that. And so I think that's a really great way of thinking about creativity and that fear that you're going to run out of ideas, you know, hoarding your ideas. It's exactly the wrong thing to do. You have to keep using them and then you're working out.
Yes. I could not agree more with that because I feel like there's two types of people in the world, right? There's people who are like storytellers and creative and like live in this imaginary bubble and they see ideas everywhere. And there are people who are like, feel like they're going to have one great idea and that's it. And it's never going to come back. It's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. But it's just not true. There's ideas everywhere. And it is a muscle. Like once you get in the habit of looking for them, you see them more and more and more.
Yeah. It's scary because when you have something good and you don't see what the next one is, you start to think, oh God, was this it? But yeah, you're absolutely right. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And the idea is only the beginning. And ideas can change and they should change and evolve. So, I mean, to even say an idea, a story isn't an idea. It's hundreds of them. And you create them and you toss them out and back and forth. So I think the point of this quote is to exercise your creativity muscle, and the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Very true. Very, very true.
But we still need to generate new ideas. They have to come from somewhere, and everyone has that time where you're sitting in front of that page or either on your computer or your notebook or whatever, and there's nothing. You have no idea. The fear starts to lock up. You start to think that it is a well. That's when you start to kind of need to switch your head around a little bit. What do you have about generating new ideas?
So I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I look for ideas everywhere. And I was going back and revisiting some of the materials that we used in grad school and thinking about, like, how did we study this? How did we learn to generate ideas? And one thing that stood out to me was this idea of the idea net and this like that we're casting out a bunch of feelers and grabbing a bunch of information and asking three essential questions to figure out, is there something there? And I think that's actually the key. It's not that you have to come up with these great ideas, but it's that you're looking at a concept and you're asking questions, which lead to new creative ways of thinking about something or approaching something. So the questions were why, how, and what is the result? And I think that if you take those three questions and you put them to anything, you can generate a story. You can come up with it or a character quirk or, you know, a way to get from point A to point B in a scene that you're working at. So it could be something that you see on television. It could be something from social media. It doesn't have to come fully formed as this like perfect, like expansive world that you are going to spend the next, you know, 30 days working on. It could be a very random bit of news and you go, huh, why? why did that happen? And in probing those questions and thinking about the different types of responses, you come up with an idea that might stick and you want to explore.
The great thing about that is you can apply it to anything. Like you see something, a piece of trash sitting on the floor, or you're walking down the street, you see, you know, an empty box. You're like, huh, why is that box there? You start to think about, well, maybe someone was walking by and they had the box. Where'd they get the box? Who is that person? You start building a story in your head, and maybe it turns into something you produce, maybe not, but that's a good workout. I think that's a nice exercise to do just as you go through your day. See a thing, and it doesn't have to be something you're experiencing in the world. It could be something you read, anything, just to start thinking, you know, spinning off those ideas from there.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. It's something that I've learned as I've sort of transitioned from writing novels to working in television and writing television scripts is like they need ideas all the time because you're moving at a very fast pace and you know, you need to have 100 episodes. So it's not like a novel where I'm like, I'm working on one really complex thing for a long period of time. It's like, nope, I've got to use this idea and then it's done and I've got to move on to the next thing because I've got several scripts to produce in a very short window. And one of the things that I've heard other writers say is this idea of like the multiple whys or the 20 whys, which is where you take a general question and you come up with 20 different responses to that or 20 different reasons for that. And what it does is it gets you past the initial easy answers that everybody sort of thinks of to these really sort of quirky, unusual responses that make content really fresh and engaging. So, because I feel like when you watch something on television, you're like, oh, wow, I never would have thought of that or I never expected that. Those aren't the first ideas that they come up with. They're usually like the 100th idea. And so you've got to go through all of the obvious answers to get to something that's really intriguing. That goes back to the muscle, because if you're not used to digging that deep, then it's really hard to, like, you feel like you're running into a wall. But if you get practice asking the question and going through all the obvious answers and then pushing yourself creatively to think of the unobvious answers, that's when you really get, you know, beautiful, wonderful ideas.
Yeah, and it's good to note that that doesn't come right away. That's not the first thing. People don't go through the world and go, oh, I know, let's write this story. Yeah, like it just doesn't happen. You have to go through all the crap first. It's not a quick process. And I'm also a big fan of doing a free write too. You know, we talked about last week, we talked about journaling, and this would be a great thing to journal, is to have a prompt of one thing, one event, one object, one scenario, an image, and then write those 20 whys. And that's a great journaling session. Or be like a, you know, the 3-year-old and keep doing a chain of whys, right? Well, what does this happen? Why? Well, why? Well, because of this. Well, why? And see what fun stuff comes from there. This very exploratory sort of thing. And you could do that in your journal.
Yeah. And the great thing about doing it in a journal is that when you feel stuck and you don't have the time or the mental clarity to dig through and be super creative, you can go back, open the journal and say, oh, that was a really brilliant idea. Let's play with this today. So you have this well of information that you can go back to when you do get stuck.
Other things I like to do to get ideas is I'm a kind of a visual person. So I like to look at pictures. I remember I took a screenwriting class in college, and she had this stack. I swear it was a good 6-inch thick stack of postcards. And they were like art postcards. They weren't like, you know, weather wonderful, miss you, that sort of stuff. But it was just these pictures and images. And she would just hand them out and say, free write on this. And, you know, we'd ask those questions, huh, where does this come from? What's the story behind this? Where is this? And then we'd free write. And then we'd hand the thing to someone else, take another one, and then free write. And you can do that even if you don't have postcards. I mean, you just do an image search. You know, you can always pull up random images on the internet. Be careful. make sure you've got some good parameters in there, unless you're writing a certain kind of story. But yeah, I mean, anything to come up, or I've looked at fantasy art. You know, if I'm trying to write a fantasy thing, I'll just look at fantasy art. Not that I'm copying what they're doing, but, you know, you get ideas from it. There's nothing wrong with taking something that exists and using that as a seed for something else, as long as you develop it far enough that it's your own thing and not theirs.
Yes. That is really true. I feel like writers and creatives are really particular for good reason about, like, there's this fear of, like, somebody's going to take my idea, somebody's going to steal my work, somebody's going to plagiarize me. And yes, like, that happens. But one, like, ideas are not protected. Like, everybody, a lot of people have the same ideas. But two, it is okay to be inspired by another artist, right? Like, that, mm-hmm. that is not plagiarism. And one of my favorite things is to look at three or four things that I love and think, like, well, what happens if these two worlds collide? Like, what if this element of this show I love is mixed with this element of this book I love? What kind of consequences did that create? What kind of world would that exist in? And you can create something really amazing by doing that.
Yeah, I think once it comes to the filter of your brain, it's gonna turn into something unique. Obviously, you know, and if you're writing fanfic, write fanfic. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. You know, just don't claim it's your own thing. But, you know, it can start as fanfic and gain its own life and change it so that, you know, you're not copying. But yeah. And also remember that the things you see are like the 10th, 15th, 20th draft. You know, this is that's the 20 whys. That's like why 21, 22, 23. And so sometimes it can be intimidating to look at an idea like, oh my God, I'll never think of that. Well, you would after 20 whys, so, and a couple drafts. So don't be afraid.
Yes, very, very true. I encourage people to do fanfic. I know there's like that's a little bit controversial, but I think that fan fiction is good because it allows you to practice writing without the pressure of creating the world and the characters. Like, you can really just fine-tune a voice and technique in somebody else's universe. Now, I don't think you should sell that. I don't think you can, like, there's a difference between doing that for practice and doing it for money or to claiming it as your own. But it actually is a really safe place to allow people to develop skills and talents and be creative with having some parameters, right? Which I think is the other thing that people run into when you say, oh, generate an idea or come up with a story. Like, it's so wide open that's overwhelming. So to take away some of those choices and give people some guardrails of where they should play, like in the sandbox, that helps, and it can free you up to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah, fanfic is fun. My problem is I always end up trying to, like, outline it and make it something real. Like, oh, wait, well, how's this going to end, and where's this going to go? And then I overthink it and take all the fun away. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with just starting in media res, and if you're doing it for fun, make yourself a Mary Sue. Who the hell cares? You're not publishing it. Enjoy yourself. It just should be fun. You need to have fun when you're working.
Yeah, and I think ideas are supposed to be fun, right? Like, coming up with an idea is, it's my favorite part of writing because I like playing in that imaginary world. I like asking the questions and going, what if, or why did they do that, or what are the implications of X, Y, and Z? And I can brainstorm and plot a novel all day long because that's the highlight of my creative process. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you have to give yourself permission to do that. And you have to give yourself permission to go down roads that you may not use. Like, you may, I don't know. I think it's helpful to say, okay, I'm going to spend this weekend or I'm going to spend a week just playing around in this world and learning and creating without this idea of that I have to have this finished outline or I have to have this first chapter or I have to have X hundred words in order to feel like I accomplished something. So I think that's a good technique, is to say, this is my time for generating ideas, and I'm going to give myself permission to explore this thing for a little while. And that is still productive. It's still work. It's still valuable.
Absolutely. Set a timer. Give yourself 15 minutes free write, and then, you know, take a break, get a cup of coffee, 15 minutes free write again. And that's an important part of the process. Even if you end up throwing away every word you write, it still gets you closer to your goal. It's writing is not a linear process at all.
So Mary, what do you use, any resources? Like, are you inspired by specific things? You mentioned the postcards and, like, being visually inspired. Are there other sort of go-tos for you in terms of getting ideas?
But I think my biggest idea generator is mistakes. Screwing up, going the wrong way. You know, like you're driving and your GPS says, here's the direct route. And you go, what happens if I go over here? That, I think, is where I get most of my ideas. And usually that way ends up screwing my GPS completely. And then I have a whole different destination, but that's okay. So it's nothing formal. I think it's just screwing up.
Maybe I need to take more chances. I feel like I take a wrong turn and then I'm like, I get panicked and I'm like, the GPS is not recalculating. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die.
I've got, our cars are both pretty old and they have GPSs. And the unlike, you know, Google Maps or whatever, the GPS software doesn't update. Like, you can't just get an update. We called one time. They're like, yeah, that'll be $250. Yeah. We're like, no, we just want an update. Not, you know, those are free, you know? Like, but that wasn't how they worked. So sometimes we'll be out driving and we're just not on the road. The GPS is just like, you're in a field, dude. Like, oh, no, we're good. So it feels like that sometimes. But, you know, we know where we're going. It's fine.
Just roll with it. Roll with it. Yeah, I feel like I get a lot of ideas from, like, the news and, like, pop culture, like, things that are just trending, like social media. A lot of people really hate social media. I find it's incredibly addictive. Yeah, it can be very toxic. It can also be, like, a huge source of crazy ideas because there's just anything you can imagine is on the news. And I hear these stories and I'm like, oh, well, what if? And a lot of times I use it for characters, too, like, oh, like, what if I had a character who had that kind of personality? Or what if I had a character who, like, went through this particular event? I love reading comments. And, like, in the comments, you'll see, like, how people process things. And it's just very fascinating to me because on my own, I would not come up with that for a character. But in viewing that and, like, understanding a little bit more about where this person's coming from, I'm like, why? Where did they get this belief? Why do they think this? Why? Like, what happens if you run into this person and they tell you this to their face? Like, it just opens up all these different opportunities for me to, like, use that in my writing to make it not only real, but, like, these really interesting, quirky, or loathable. Is loathable a word? Loathable.
Sure. It is. You're a writer. You're allowed to make
loathable characters, villainous characters, whatever you're looking for. I feel like you can find it in social media.
That's really great. What I like, two things I like about that. First of all, I think it's a great way to expose yourself to a lot of people quickly. I mean, the internet, you could expose yourself to a lot of people quickly, but you know what I mean? Like to take in.
Different kind of expose.
To take in a lot of people. Yeah. What you do in your free time is not my concern. But to see a lot of people quickly. You know, if I sit out in the street, no one goes by because I live in a quiet suburb. So I could do this instead. I like that very much. It's also, I think, a little healthier way of taking in social media because you're not personally attached to it. You know, it's not like that person doesn't infuriate you in their wrongness because you're not looking at them from right or wrong. You're just looking at them as, oh, what kind of person would think that way? And I think that might be good for my anxiety just a little bit.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I went through a period where, like, I cleaned out my Facebook and I was like, okay, you know, whatever, you're a crackpot. I'm taking you off the list. I don't need to see all your posts. But I see comments that, like, friends of friends make on their posts. And a lot of these people will have, like, public pages. So I will tell you, if your page is public, I am probably on it. Because I will click through and I will scroll through and read all this stuff. And it's so just, like, fascinating to me. I may not agree with anything you say, but it's a weird window into somebody else's life and can be really useful for character development stuff.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm totally stealing that.
There you go.
And that also, you could do that the other way around. You know, you have your character and you want to kind of play with them a little bit. Well, work up a Facebook feed for them. I mean, don't necessarily go into Facebook and create a fake because they get upset with that, but, you know, I don't know, type something up or make a fake one. Who cares? I'm not here to tell you what to do. Yeah, I think it always comes about just taking stuff in and looking at it with a writer's eye. The more you can do that, the more your brain will be conditioned to be ready when it's time to sit down and write.
Exactly.
Great. So my next week, I'm going to be spending a lot of time trolling the comments. And see what I can find.
I can see you're gonna be trolling people. I can see it. You're like, I just want to see what kind of response you'll have for this.
Yeah. I'm doing it purely for research purposes. I need to understand how you're going to respond to this particular stimulus. So it has nothing personal. I'm just, you don't understand. This is all research. Very important.
Tell him. Melissa said it was okay.
Melissa said it was all right. Who the fuck is Melissa? Don't worry about it. All righty. Well, I think that just about does it for us today. Good luck coming up with new ideas. And don't forget that writing is really hard.
So take it easy.
I've been Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa. Bye, guys.
Bye.